Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How you guys doing? Good? VBF, how you doing? That's the VBF I remember. So good to see you guys. I am so grateful and humbled and honored to be standing in your guys' presence today. As they said, my name is Pastor Adam Perez. We have a church in a small town called Lindsay, California. How many of you know Lindsay? Hey, I'm going to do this. Can we give a shout out to our little breakthrough crew that came all the way from Lindsay? Right here, first two rows. So good to see everybody. So if you don't know where Lindsay, California is, please raise your hand. It's okay. Don't worry. Don't be shy. Okay, cool. So nobody knows where Lindsay is. So listen, do you know where Sacramento is? Okay, well, don't go that way. It's too far. All right. Lindsay is about an hour north of here, and it's kind of like a mini VBF. We stayed with the same culture. I was saved in those back seats right back there. I gave my life to Jesus, right? I should say that's where I first heard the gospel message. I gave my life in a bathroom, and that's a story for another time. But I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm going to say something that's going to seem rather cocky at first, right? Almost like I'm fooling myself, but I have to say it. I'm supposed to be here today. Amen. I am. I'm supposed to be here today, but before you think I'm this cocky guy from a small town, I want to show you how I know that I'm supposed to be here today. Years ago, I was on a fast, and if you guys don't fast, I encourage you to fast, but make sure you do it in a healthy way. If you got health issues or take medications, please consult a doctor before fasting. But let me tell you why I'm here, why I know I'm supposed to be here today. Years ago, I was on a fast, and I attended here at the time, and I was with Pastor Tom Touchstone over at the Cal State campus serving. And I remember I was on my face, and I was fasting, and I was on my third day. And while I was on my face fasting on my third day, I was asking God for vision. I was saying, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I owned a real estate company, a tree service company, a photography company. I was doing really well in the community. And I said, God, but it never felt all the way right. Anybody ever felt that way, right? Like you're doing something, but you're just not, you know that that's not the end. That's not the end result. So I'm on my face praying and fasting. And God says, God gives me a vision. And you know what the vision was? Everybody say, what was it? Well, I'm glad you guys asked. So the vision was that I was going to be standing on a stage on a Wednesday night telling the people about God's true and genuine love and character. Isn't that incredible? Right? Now, listen, I know there's skeptics out there. You don't got to believe me, but believe this. Go ahead and pull up the journal entry if you can. I'm being very vulnerable. Wait, take it down real quick. I don't want them to read the top part. So I'm being very vulnerable with you guys. This is a journal entry from 2020. It's 2023, almost 2024. We're halfway through. And years before I wrote this journal entry, God had given me the vision the first time. This second time during my fast, God gave it to me again. And let me just read this to you. Go ahead and pull it up. Right? Let me pull it out of my journal, actually. I have it here. It says here, I'm going to read from, I asked that you would give me a vision, right? This is, if you look at the top left corner circled, what does that say? You probably can't read it. January 8th, 2020, third and final day of fast. Okay, here's where I'm reading from. I asked that you would give me vision like you gave Joseph vision. It was quiet for a long time, but finally, while listening to Spirit lead me, you gave me the same vision you gave me years ago. I was preaching from the stage at main campus on a Wednesday night with all my heart asking the crowd, yes or yes? Lord, you could have given me anything, but again, you gave me this vision of speaking to a multitude of people, sharing with them the absolute truth and value of accepting your son, Jesus, as the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't that crazy? Is God real or is God real? What's the second part? It says, the only true vision and direction you gave me was that of me standing before many, teaching them what it is to be loved by you, cared for by you, chosen by you, and acknowledged by you. Amen? So when I say I'm supposed to be here, it's not just confidence. Oh man, I just spit. This is the splash zone, just so you guys know. I got to share with you guys one more thing, and it was crazy because this was years ago. Everybody say years ago. Guys, God can give you something from so long ago that will die. You know it's Him, but it dies, only to come back later on. Amen? Watch this. Listen to this. I'm going to show you. It was May. What day was that? I've got to find it. Here we go. May 18th, I get this call, right? I had that vision long ago. I've since moved to Lindsay. We started this church and a new ministry, and then I get this call.
Hey, Adam, it's Tom Hollenbeck. I'm just calling because I wanted to know if you would be interested in speaking on a Wednesday night at BBF East Campus. And I'm in charge of the speaking schedule. We were just thinking about you. And I wanted to know if that's something you'd be interested in. We're looking for a time in July.
Isn't that crazy? So let me, I say all that to say this, okay? If you're here today, just like I was supposed to be here, you were too. Right? There's a message that God has within Ephesians that somebody is supposed to hear. Maybe it's for one person, maybe it's for two people. Now listen, I'm not generalizing to seem like a fortune teller. I'm just showing you the truths in my journal, the truths of the two people I told, my wife and Pastor Tom Touchstone. And he said, well, okay, we'll see, right? So with that being said, if you're here, it's not an accident. Let me pray and get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today, Lord. I thank you that I'm supposed to be here, and I pray an anointing upon myself, Lord, from you like it's never been before. I know, God, that the word I'm supposed to speak today is coming from you, and I praise you for it, God. I pray that you make it your own. Lord, I pray that if you ask me to ignore all of my notes, God, then so be it. You take control. Holy Spirit, I ask you for help right now. Be present in this place. Sweep through the rooms of everybody's hearts. I pray that their ears are open and their hearts are ready to receive whatever it is that you have for them, because today is a day that you planned so many years ago. And we're grateful and we're thankful and we thank you in advance. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. All right, let's get started. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and open to Ephesians. Pastor L, if you ever see him, I didn't know he was going to be here. I wouldn't have came, you know. That guy, man. I didn't know. They didn't tell me he was going to be here. I wouldn't have showed up, man. I would have called in sick or something. I'm kidding. If you see him, give him a high five. He loves random hugs, just so you know. Pastor Al, yeah, from behind especially, prom style. Just grab him, pick him up. You know, he loves that. So we're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, before I begin talking about Ephesians, let me tell you about the church in Ephesus. It's important to me. I kind of like to know background. You guys, you kind of want to know what you're reading. So the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul. And for those of you who are new here or who have never heard of the Apostle Paul, or even if you have, I'm going to refresh your memory. The Apostle Paul wasn't named Paul until Jesus changed his name. Now Saul, who was the Apostle Paul before, he persecuted Christians. This guy, if there was anybody, there was nobody more zealous, meaning more passionate about doing God's work and capturing Christians, imprisoning Christians. He was actually there present when one of the apostles, Stephen, was murdered. He held everybody's coats. This is that guy. the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter in Ephesians. And it's important you know that background, because he's writing to the church of Ephesus. He's telling them about who Jesus is, what Jesus did for his life. And you're going to find that the context of his past is very important for the purpose in his future. Amen? And so I know this is going to resonate with you guys, because the Apostle Paul, he's my guy. You know what I'm saying? As you young people say, he's my dude. Is that still a thing? I don't know. I've been trying to be cool for a long time. I might not ever get to it. So now you know where we're at. The Apostle Paul, actually, he wrote this letter from prison. He's in prison writing about Jesus, encouraging people to continue on forth with belief in this Messiah, in this Jesus, in this resurrected Son of God. And so he's in prison. He's writing this letter, and to the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, I'm going to go a little bit more. Very big city, very big community, very powerful. Outside of Jerusalem and these other areas, and in Ephesus, you know, the worship of the goddess Artemis was a very big deal, right? Artemis or Diana, they used to worship this goddess, and the women of the temple used to lead worship and sacrifice for this goddess. In Ephesians, this is where you see the Apostle Paul talk to the church and saying, hey, a woman is not allowed to preach on you know, to teach men. But the context behind that is, it was in Ephesus where he spoke this. It was where women were leading people astray to worship the goddess Artemis. Amen? So when you hear that, ladies, don't get all mad. Don't get all upset. You see Nicole Dickey up here. She's awesome. My wife is a great teacher. But that being said, let's go into Ephesians chapter 3 finally. You guys ready? Yes or yes? I knew I'd be asking that question. What'd I tell you? So I'm going to read a little bit back. I'm going to read from just above verse 7, of which I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. So this is the Apostle Paul saying, hey, God entrusted me with this ministry to the Gentile people. Now, Gentiles are non-Jews. That would be like me or you, or is Peter Nalos in here? Because that guy's Jewish. He wouldn't count. So that's where we pick up. We're going to go on verse 8 now. It says, to me, everybody say to me. To me, the very least of all saints. Everybody say past. Anybody got a past in this place? Anybody got somewhere they came from that ain't so pretty? Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, some of you are lying. Some of you are quiet. There should be like an amen, right? It should be like a roar. You guys should be standing on your chairs. To me, this is the Apostle Paul. He's saying to me, he's talking about what God has entrusted him with. He says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given. When I read that verse, and I understand now why Pastor Al didn't go through so many verses, because there's so much good stuff. To me, the very least of all saints. When I read this, I asked myself the question, why did Paul talk about himself that way? What is the context behind that comment that he makes? He says, but this is the Apostle Paul. He wrote a third of the New Testament. This guy's on fire for Jesus, starting churches all over the place, building believers up. Yet he sits here and says, the very least of all his saints. When I read that, I want to give a quick shout out to mi familia from El Salvador. There's an older couple watching me, Alba's parents. Los quiero mucho, que Dios me los bendiga. I had to say that. Beautiful. When we had the Spanish service here, I pastored it, and they used to come all the time. Her dad, man, you got to watch him if he's ever around. All right, he's a little bit funny. He's a good dude. I'm messing with you. But why did Paul? Why did he call himself the very least of the saints. Let's dig into that. Let's look for other scriptures where Paul talked about himself in this way. Romans 7:24, pull it up. Watch this. He says, this is in Romans 7. And in Romans 7, there's this conflict that the apostle Paul talks about. He goes back and forth. He's like, I hate that I do the things that I do not wish to do. He said, but the very fact that I hate those things mean that that I agree with the law, that I actually have conviction. He goes on to speak about these things, but he ends this little section with the words, wretched man that I am. Can anybody relate to that? He said, who will set me free from the body of this death? He goes on to say, thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That he is free. Now go on to 1 Timothy. Watch this. Look at what else he says about himself. He's saying, this is the Apostle Paul again. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Watch this. Of whom I am the worst. Time out. The Apostle Paul, the very man that is sparking churches in Ephesus, in Galatia, in Laodicea, writing to the Roman church or to the Philippian church, this very same apostle is saying, Jesus came to save sinners of whom I'm the worst. I want to do, will you guys do something with me? Yes or yes? Will you do an exercise with me real quick? Will you trust me for a second? I want everybody to close your eyes. Close them. Everybody. All right, ushers, come get their purses. I'm kidding. Close your eyes. Keep them closed. And I'm going to ask you a question. The Apostle Paul said that Jesus came to save sinners, of which he is the worst. Eyes closed. Right now, with your hands up, who of you in here has had this thought or thinks this thought? There's nobody worse than me. Keep the hands up, eyes closed. Nobody's as bad as, nobody has ever sinned the way that I did. If anybody ever found out the things that I did, they'd kick me out. They'd ostracize me. They'd push me away. Keep your hands up. All right, now everybody with your hands up, open your eyes. I want you to look around. Are you alone? Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy that we can do great things for God? That we can do incredible things for God should we humble ourselves before him? Yet when this question is asked, we raise our hands and say, nobody's done the things that I've done. You look around, everybody's broken. Everybody has messed up. Everybody has a past. Amen. And even if you grew up in church, don't tell me you never judged anyone. Did you guys bring your steel-toe boots today? I'm stepping on toes. See, guys, amen. Come on. Listen, where did Paul's shame come from? Where does yours come from? See, the Apostle Paul in this scripture where he says, I am the worst. Pull up Ephesians 3:8 again. He says, to me, the very least of all the saints. I'm the least. I'm the worst of the worst. I'm the bottom of the bottom. All these saints, all these apostles, man, they're the go-to guys. I'm just the guy that was given this grace. How many of you have been given grace? Amen? How many of you are alive and functioning today only because of God's grace? Right? This is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, of whom I'm the very least. I have a past. I used to persecute Christians. That's where his shame come from. I stood by and watched the guy get murdered. I imprisoned hundreds of Christians. In fact, on the road to Damascus, when I met Jesus, I was on the way to persecute more Christians. I wonder how many people have that same story today. I was going against God. In fact, when I met God, I was going 100% the opposite road. I was going to do things that weren't great in his sight. I was in a direction where my life wasn't looking like I was a godly person. Or I didn't even care anymore. I was going so against the grain with God. And that's where I met him. Anybody met God in the pits before? Anybody have an encounter with God when you're in the midst of a pit, of a hole? I remember the story of Joseph, and I never forget the pit that they threw him in, because it said something very key. If you ever read Genesis 37 through 43 or 45, skip 38, it's just random. But if you ever read through Genesis 37, the story of Joseph, there's something very peculiar to me in that. The Bible says that Joseph, by his brothers, was thrown in this pit. And it could have just been that, but it said something very specific. It says the pit was without water. Why did it say that? Why? Because water is life. In the worst of situations, if you're starving, if whatever's going on, you see water, you see life. That pit was meant to seem hopeless. Joseph was given a vision. In that pit, the vision might have died in his mind. And for some of you, I want to encourage you, don't let the pits destroy the vision that God has for your life. Because even if you're the least, come on, even when you feel like you're the least, God can give you a job and make you do something that requires faith, great faith. Let me get back to my notes. So here's where else his shame came from. You see, wanting to serve God, right? He wanted to serve God so badly that he began to do what he thought God would have wanted him to do. The Apostle Paul wanted to serve God so badly that he began to do what he thought God would have wanted him to do without actually seeking God and hearing God for what he actually needed for him to do. Amen? You see, sometimes, guys, if we're not careful, this shame that Paul carries, or at least this understanding of grace, because we're going to get to that part too, but if we're not careful, we will do things in the name of God that push people away from God. Does that make sense? Yes or yes? Listen, go ahead and pull up my note for that. So often, in the name of serving God, this is one of my notes. I never do PowerPoints, so this is special for me. Sorry. So often, in the name of serving God, we end up selling him short. See, the Apostle Paul, he was capturing Christians in the name of God. He was Jewish, a Pharisee. He believed in Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai. He believed in God. But he didn't consult with him before going and doing these things. You know how I know he didn't? Because he wouldn't have done those things. When you have an experience with God the way Paul did, the things that you used to do, you can no longer do anymore because you ask first. Everybody say ask. You ask first. You talk to God first. What? You mean I shouldn't just do whatever the heck I feel I should do? Is that allowed to be said in here? I'm sorry. I'll say hekola. We'll make it Greek. All right. Am I allowed to do whatever the hekola I'm supposed to do? You see, we never ask or check what God wants, and we mess it all up. We raise our hands because we're the worst, when really, if we just heard God before we acted or before we made decisions, we would be so much better off. I have a note here that says if you're acting and haven't heard God, then you're missing the mark and might hurt people. If you haven't heard God, you're gonna hurt people. And here's the crazy part. You're gonna hurt people when you hear God too, because people aren't gonna be okay with you not sipping those back anymore. You're gonna hurt their feelings. They're not going to be okay with you not smoking weed or hitting the pipe anymore. You're going to hurt people either way, but here, the type of hurt that I'm talking about here is very different. You see, the Apostle Paul hurt a lot of people because he didn't hear God. Every single one of you that has received the Holy Spirit has help. You have help. The Apostle Paul here begins to speak about that help. Pull up Ephesians 8:3 again. Watch the second part of this. I love it because he says, the very least of all, he acknowledges, I'm nobody. I shouldn't even be doing the things that I'm doing. I shouldn't even be here right now. He says, but this grace was given, he says, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. What? God, you chose me, Paul, to tell these people about your love when all I ever did was chase them. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to understand. They're going to run away. But you've called me to do this because of your grace. I don't deserve to be here. Now listen, this is what's beautiful about the Apostle Paul. He doesn't carry his shame. He chooses to believe God's grace. Yes. Yes. Amen. And so many people, guys, I'll speak. There's so many people carry that shame about who they were without looking forward to what God says about who they're going to become. Amen. See, it's so important to know our word. It's so important to know our word because we will be used by God when we can put aside the shame and put on that grace and step into the calling that he has for us. Right? He said this grace was given. Something that is given by God is a gift without expectation. It's given to you, and from the fullness of your heart overflows the beautiful things that God has. Without filling your heart with the gifts that God has given you, or without acknowledging or recognizing them, you can never fully step in to what God has for your life. Does this make sense? Yes or yes? I love it because it says to preach to the Gentiles. This is Paul's word. The unfathomable, unbelievable, incredible. You can't even understand it. Unfathomable. The Bible later in Ephesians says to the God that does exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ever think or imagine. Unfathomable. Paul, the sinner, Paul, the guy that watched people die and was okay with it, Paul, the one that persecuted them, Paul, the one that said he was serving God, but really he was hurting God, me, Paul, I get to tell people about God's love. Amen. The Bible says in Corinthians, we are to comfort others in the way we have been comforted by God. Right. How beautiful that Paul is the guy that God chose. Who better? To you who have messed up, to you who lived rough lives, to you who are still making mistakes, who better to be called than you? Amen. Who better? Who better? Who better to be called than you for God's work? The Pharisees, their ministry was dead. Because they tried to live perfect. And not only did they try to live perfect, their standard for other people was that same perfection. They couldn't appeal to anyone if their life depended on it. Jesus says you rejoice after one person who you converted, I think it's Paul, over one person that you converted to Judaism. But all you've done is bring them into the same mistakes that you're making. Who better? Everybody say, who better than me? Say it again. Who better than me? You see, your ministry is different than my ministry. I can appeal to a lot of people. You guys, eventually you guys will hear my story, I'm sure. I'll be at men's retreat doing a session. Yeah, right? Yeah, come on. So eventually you guys will hear my story. I can appeal to a lot of people. My dad, he was a fugitive. I've gone to 26 different schools. I've lived in 6 different states, 2 countries, right? I was a new kid every couple months. I can appeal to a lot of people. I know about drugs. I know about alcohol. I know about sexual abuse. I know about physical abuse. I know about emotional abuse. I can appeal to a lot of people. But there are some of you that I can't appeal to, but there are people that you can appeal to that I can't. Amen? Amen? There's a ministry within your pain that God is waiting to turn into purpose. Can I say that again? There's a ministry within your pain that God is waiting to turn into purpose. You just have to open your eyes. If you can't see it, if you can't see it, you need to listen. I always tell people this. They say, how do you pray? How do you hear God? How do you know that you know that you know is God? Well, listen, I don't have to say much. I got a little bit of proof. I journal, right? I thank God for my Uncle Freddie who taught me how to journal, right? I journal. I write all this stuff down, and I don't always know that it's God. I don't. But some of the things that I look at, I'll go back to my notes. I go back because it's important to hear God, right? Pull up that point again. If you're acting and haven't heard God, then you're missing the mark and might hurt people. Hearing God is so important, not just to not hurt people, but to encourage people, to build people, right? Hearing God is not just for you so that you can feel warm and fuzzy inside. I'm sorry, but that's not the Christian faith. You weren't put on this earth so that you can feel comfortable and cozy and your life can be perfect. As they say in my country, you feel me, dog? Right? You weren't put on this earth to just feel good. I'm sorry, but that's not the ministry that Jesus was preaching. He said, some of you are going to suffer on my behalf. Some of you are going to be killed because of me. You're going to be murdered. When they asked Jesus to be honored, to sit at his right and his left, Jesus said, you don't want the honor that I'm getting. He says, you don't understand. You got it wrong. You're not hearing me. And if you're not hearing me, you're going to hurt people and you're going to hurt yourself. I think about the Apostle Paul so much. And I know I'm not getting past this verse, but I just couldn't. I wanted to go so far beyond, but I could not. This is why the Apostle Paul said what he said. He wasn't hearing God and he hurt a lot of people. You can save a lot of people pain by simply putting yourself in the presence of God. Amen. Right? You can. By the way, the title is doesn't even matter anymore, but the least to be least is not to be last. That's the message of today, sir. The title of today's message. Oftentimes, it's when you consider yourself the least that God will use you to do the most. Amen. Oftentimes, it's in your pits when God says, I'm ready to pull you out and push you into your purpose. In your darkest places, in your hardest times. And listen, don't get me wrong. Not just because times are hard, are you like, oh God, I'm ready, oh God, I'm ready. Trust me, some people's lows are way lower than you think. Some people's lows looks like they don't have bottoms. Anybody ever felt like that? I didn't think it could get any lower. I didn't think it could get any, you know, I didn't think it could get any worse. There's a saying in Spanish. I'm going to say it. Pastor Ron, forgive me. It says like this. It says, solo falta que me mea un perro. Anybody ever heard that? All it says is, all I need now is for a dog to come and pee on me. Right? That's in the book of Opinions, chapter 2, verse 11. Let me see. I'm kidding. Listen, guys. Oftentimes, it's when you consider yourself the least that God will use you to do the most. The Apostle Paul considered himself the least. And God said, I'm going to push you to talk about my unfathomable love and my unfathomable mercy and grace. Why you, Apostle Paul? Because in the midst of the pits, I pulled you out and I showed you that kind of love. I showed you that kind of grace. I showed you that kind of mercy. I showed you who I am. Who better? Everybody say, who better? Than me. Nobody better. Oil field workers, corporate executives, you all have a ministry. Sexual abuse, all those horrible things that have happened in your life, the Bible says that God can, in Romans 8:28, it says that God will work all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He'll turn it around. What did the song say? He'll take what the enemy meant for evil and he'll turn it to good. He'll turn it to good, right? And so I tell you guys today, Paul, who was the least, was used by God to preach about those unfathomable riches. If he used Paul, he can use you too. Do you believe that? If he used Paul, he can say, if he used Paul, he can use me too. If he used Paul, he can use me too. Expect that. Come on. So to be least is not to be last. It is to understand in complete humility who you are compared to who God is. I've got a few more minutes, so I'm gonna hustle past this. But listen, when you're humble, you can hear God. When you're humble, you can hear God. The Bible says in Matthew 23:12, these are Jesus's words. He said, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. This sentence that the Apostle Paul stated, it wasn't false humility. He genuinely believed in that moment that not only was he the worst, but only because of God's grace is he able to step in to do what he's being called to do. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. To be exalted means to be lifted up, right? Paul was repentant, meaning he repented before God. And I know that word sounds so bad. You need to repent, repent, right? You see the street preachers with the billboard things. It's funny, my friend Bruce, he's older. He's just turned 70. Give Bruce a round of applause. Good old Bruce. Poor guy, during Bible study, he asked me for a Bible for so long. And I said, hold on, I'm still collecting them off the street preachers because he needs a billboard Bible. He can't see nothing. And so, but that has nothing to do with my point at all. So praise the Lord. So when you're humble, you can hear God. When you humble yourself, God will exalt you. Paul was humble. He was blinded on the road to Damascus. Doesn't get more humble than that, right? He was repentant. Repentance is a gift from God. The fact that we get to say, I messed up, I'm turning away from this stuff, that's a gift from God. Don't take that in a bad way. Take that as a gift because that's exactly what it is. When you repent, when repentance places you in the presence of God, when you humble yourself. Paul was humble. Paul was available. Whoo! Thus saith the Lord, are you available? Are you available? Can you even hear God right now? What's in between you and God that's stopping you from hearing his voice? Right? Paul, I love it because he understood a very, very beautiful principle. He understood that anything he could do, he was only allowed to do because God allowed him to do it. Yeah. Anything. And I'll say that to you guys. Understand, and I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Understand that anything that you can do, you're only allowed to do because he allows you to do it. You wouldn't be breathing right now if God didn't want you to. Your breath would be taken from you. You'd be gone. And as long as you got a breath, you got another chance. Amen? As long as there is still oxygen in your lungs, whether you have one like Bruce or two like me, you still got purpose. Right? Man, I just said he can't breathe and he can't see. Praise the Lord. Poor Bruce, it's all right. Make sure you give Bruce some love before you leave, all right? Please. I beat him up. I'm sorry, Bruce. I love you. I don't care what Paris says when you're not around. All right. Understand that anything you can do, you're only allowed to do because God allows you. This is what the Apostle Paul understood. You're only breathing because God allows it. That's it. And if you're breathing and God's allowing it, you better believe he has a plan for you. You better believe he's going to do something with your life. Amen? All right. Did you guys get something tonight? Did you learn something? Is God good or is God good? I don't want to leave. I'm going to finish here. They're going to beat me up, man. 8:05. Come on. But I don't want to leave without reading the second part of my journal. I didn't put that up there because you guys would judge me. All I could see was you on that stage in me shining for them. All I could see is the passion you gave me being displayed. and used on a stage for multitudes to come to truly know you and know how much you truly love them and care for them and seek relationship and want them, Lord. This to me seems like the right work. God loves you so much. And I would love to say he unconditionally loves you, but there's a condition. There's a condition. I'm sorry. I might get in trouble for this, but God, I'm sorry. God does not unconditionally love you. There's one condition. You got to believe in the Son. Right? The Bible says no one comes unto the Father except through me. This is Jesus' words. So I'm sorry to burst your bubble if you've ever heard that, but you got to make a decision if you want to receive these gifts that God gives. The Holy Spirit, that still small voice that God gave us as a gift to hear so that we don't hurt people or ourselves, that comes by making a decision. That comes by making a choice. You see, the definition of a decision in my mind, it is to eliminate all other options. That's what it means to make a decision. To eliminate all other options. That is what it means to make a decision. So many people in this world right now have so much information that they don't even know what to choose anymore. They're on Amazon doing 50,000 reviews on a toaster, right? It's not the same with God. I mean, you can do your reviews, but eventually you got to make a decision. Either you're going to choose Jesus or you're not. I dare you. I'm not encouraging you to try other religions, but I dare you to try Jesus. I dare you to try the God that gives people purpose regardless of their pain. I dare you. I dare you. Tonight, don't leave tonight without taking my opportunity that I'm giving you. If you're feeling it inside your heart, and it's real from God, it's not just feelings, it's also faith. You're saying, God, I don't just want to go based on this feeling that I'm feeling. I want to have faith that what that crazy man said on stage can actually be true for my life. If that's you today, if that's you, don't leave here without praying with me or with one of the prayer people. I'm going to pray a prayer. And this prayer, it's the Romans 10:9 prayer. It's where if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's easy. It's simple. But a decision without follow-up is like not making a decision at all. So when I pray with you guys right now, I don't just want you to come up and get prayer and you said the prayer and you're saved and that's it. No. Make your salvation real. Make a commitment. Decide today that Jesus is real and that you're going to do whatever you have to do to follow him. If that's join a Bible study, get in a small group, get connected to a pastor, get connected to a mentor. That's what is going to lead you to the true place where you're in God's sight learning more and more and more. Because the more you learn, the more you'll love him, I promise. Amen. So right now, I want everybody, close your eyes, if you will, with me. Father God, I pray right now, Father, Holy Spirit, come into this room, sweep this place. Holy Spirit, come. Come right now, sweep this place, Holy Spirit. Soften the hearts that are hard. I pray that you loosen the arms of the people that are about to raise their hands, that they would do it with courage and with faith. That they would forget about their past and look forward to the purpose that you have for them in the future. Right now, with everybody and with everybody's eyes closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, if you want to do this faith thing, if you want to commit, if you want to make a decision and actually believe tonight, I want you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. I see those hands. Amen. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. I see you over there. I see you. I see you. I see you. Everybody pray with me. I'm going to pray this prayer, but I want everybody to pray with me so no one's embarrassed. And those of you that have raised your hands, keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. We're going to get you a packet, and then I'm going to have you come up and pray with us. Everybody, let's pray this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that this day was meant for me to be here. This message was tailored for this day. God, right now, if there's any sin in my life, I ask that you forgive me. Take it from me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come into our body, to take control over my life, to start stirring things up. I give you permission to do all these things. Today, God, I believe with my heart, I confess with my mouth that your Son Jesus is Lord, that he died on a cross, and that you resurrected him on the third day. God, thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give all those people a round of applause. Thank you guys so much for coming. If you raised your hand, please don't leave without talking to a prayer person. God bless you guys. Take care.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.